3 years ago, Jill and I built a small farmhouse in Austin County, just a stone's throw from my great-great-grandfather's original family farm. The house is pretty, and it's designed very traditionally to look as if it's been standing solidly for 100 years or more. We're presently adding a garage to the house, and we're using a different builder this time. And as the work has progressed, our new builder keeps uncovering things that 3 years ago were shoddily done. Windows are already rotting. Trim is warped. Weather sealing is incomplete. So while the house has great curb appeal, a lot that's above the foundation seems to have been built carelessly. As you can imagine, that's been on my mind a lot recently. And then I read St. Paul's passage to the Christians in Corinth this morning. Paul spent considerable time in Corinth establishing the people of faith there. But then he necessarily traveled on to leave the finished work to others. Paul uses this morning a construction analogy, and he says, quote, "Like a master builder, I laid the foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build upon it." And from the rest of Paul's letter, the inference is clear. Among the Corinthians, Paul sees some shoddy workmanship. A key to building is, of course, understanding the kind of foundation on which the rest of the structure must stand. Is it a fixed or a floating slab? Is it pier and beam? If one misidentifies the foundation, well, eventual cracks in the structure are unavoidable. Well, Christianity has now been around for exactly 1,964 years longer than my little farmhouse in Austin County. The rots and cracks of potentially careless building have had much longer to impair the whole structure of our faith. Perhaps a structural analysis is in order. In order to do a structural analysis of our spiritual lives, we first need to consider the foundation. St. Paul defines it at the end of today's epistle passage. Paul says to the Corinthians and to us, quote, "You belong to Christ as Christ belongs to God." Do we really understand that foundation? See, in our everyday understanding, we don't belong to anybody. We're Americans, you and I. And we love and enjoy our unfettered liberty. We are our own people. We make our own way in this world. It is an affront to us to imagine that someone else might have claim on us. Surely we can reinterpret what Paul says here. Surely we can make a shallow floating slab of this foundation whose piers want to drive deep into our souls. No, we can't. Paul is insistent, and he is clear. Christianity is not a decorative molding around the windows designed to give us curb appeal. Faith is not a canary or avocado appliance to be changed when style and fashion change, or in my parents' house, never to be changed, but that's a different story. The foundation is Jesus Christ, Paul says. and we belong to Jesus. Jesus is the bedrock on which all the rest of the Christian is built. Or to broaden the analogy for those in the congregation who were born in the digital age, Jesus is the operating system, not the app. In other words, there is no part of us that is not intertwined with Jesus' claim on us. There are moments when we experience a glimpse of this reality. We have fleeting encounters, yearnings of the heart. When we want to give ourselves to God like this, to have God live in us and us in God, those encounters feel like the first few moments of a love affair when the possibility of taking the vulnerable plunge stands before us. But then we think better of it and shy away from the precipice. That's not an option, Paul tells the Corinthians. And Paul tells us. We who claim we have faith belong to Jesus. We are not our own. Until we hear this, until we believe it, until we give up the struggle and take the plunge, the rest of the good news will never make sense. Jesus is the foundation upon which we are built. We belong to Christ as Christ belongs to God. Now, a worldly foundation, which is the other option, that's something very different. As Jesus reminds us today in Matthew, the world teaches us, in essence, to define ourselves by defining those who are against us, those who are a perceived threat to us, by defining ourselves against our enemies. The world teaches us to count the cost to ourselves before we extend a helping hand to someone else. The world teaches us to harbor bitterness toward those who are our enemies and who act against us. And, frankly, to seek revenge when we can. The world teaches us to be innately suspicious of those suffering hard times, to assume that there must be some flaw in their character that we don't share that has led them to their low condition. If we build a life on that foundation, the world's foundation, then we'll believe it all. Walking downtown, doing our business in the middle of the week, picking our kids up from school, watching the cable news late at night, we will rest on the world's foundation. And we won't turn the other cheek. And we won't walk the extra mile. Except, we belong to Jesus. We are His. And He does not give us permission to rest on any foundation other than Him, or to run any operating system other than His. It's not allowed. And for our own good. See, Paul warns us today that a life built on a worldly foundation leads to cracks and rot. Oh, they won't be obvious or visible at first, trust me. The rot begins behind the walls. The cracks begin in the interior. But sooner or later, they will weaken the whole structure of our spiritual lives and it will fall down around us. But when we build on the foundation of Jesus, when we give our lives fully to God, the walls and the rafters become as solid as the pier and beam. Brick by brick, stud by stud, we build over the years a life that becomes Christian. When we see someone who is down and out, we give him our coat as a reminder that but for Jesus, we too are low. When we find that we lapse into hatred, and friends, we all hate sometimes, we will choose instead self-consciously and actively to love, so that any lasting enemies we might make will be only those with the audacity to stand against love. Every rivet reminds us to look in the eyes of those that we meet and see that they too are cherished, that they, like us, belong to Jesus. And like concrete that cures over the years, will become stronger. Our confidence to be people who extend grace will grow. The peace in our souls will deepen. And we will fall in love with the reality that we are not our own. We'll decide that we wouldn't have it any other way. Each builder must choose with care how to build, Paul says. The foundation is here. We belong to Christ as Christ belongs to God. Now let's start building. Amen.